Today is RSVVP Day, when restaurants around Chapel Hill and Carrboro pledge to donate 10% of their proceeds to the IFC to aid their efforts to fight hunger in our community. Thanks to the pandemic, it's a lower key event this year, but 18 restaurants are still participating. So if you have a hankering to eat out for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or just get a snack in the middle of the day, you might want to check out one of those places. You can get the full list at the IFC's website, which is IFCweb.org. Catching you up on local news, we begin with more good news in the fight against COVID-19 as hospitalizations dropped again over the weekend, now down to just 1,040 in North Carolina. Meanwhile, kids ages 5 to 11 are now eligible to get their COVID vaccines, and local school districts are helping with that process by setting up vaccine clinics at elementary schools. Here's Orange County School Superintendent Dr. Monique Felder speaking about that recently with 97.9 The Hill.
We are grateful for the opportunity to collaborate once again, as we have since the very beginning of this pandemic, with the Orange County Health Department. They have been beyond phenomenal. Through them and through the state, we have an opportunity as a district to work with one of the state vendors, StarMed, to hold COVID-19 vaccine clinics for children in the age group of 5 to 11 years old. And so we shared information with parents last week and again this week that there will be a number of vaccination clinics held at all 7 of our elementary schools. So parents will come on site and at their school site, and their children can get vaccinated. And so we're very excited about that.
That's Dr. Monique Felder speaking there. You can get the full discussion in the News on the Hill section of our website, chapelboro.com. But while there's good news on the COVID front, the medical profession continues to face many challenges, including a nursing shortage. A new model from UNC estimates North Carolina will face a shortage of more than 12,000 registered nurses and 5,000 licensed practical nurses by 2033. And that may actually get worse if pandemic stress drives more nurses out of the field. 97.9 The Hill's Al Karras with more.
NC NurseCast is a web-based interactive model that forecasts the future supply and demand for nurses in North Carolina. Developed by the UNC Shep Center for Health Services Research, the model aims to help state employers, educators, and policymakers plan for the future of healthcare, and in this case, what is an apparent nursing shortage.
I want to emphasize that this project was 2 years in the making. We started this before COVID hit, anticipating that the North Carolina nursing workforce was going to be in crisis. Never could we have imagined we would be releasing this in the midst of a pandemic that is really wreaking havoc on the North Carolina health workforce, and particularly on nurses.
That was Dr. Erin Freyer, a policy analyst and the director of UNC's Shep Center. She said this model will be able to give stakeholders the data they need to understand the complexities of the nursing workforce, as well as examine possible surpluses and shortages by location.
We believe that our model is much more robust and transparent, and we believe in it. And part of the reason is that our model draws on licensure data obtained from North Carolina. So we actually know every single nurse who's licensed to practice.
Freyer said the largest shortfalls for RNs will occur in hospitals, where demand is expected to exceed supply by nearly 10,000 positions by 2033. She said North Carolina's expanding aging population also fuels a need for more RNs in nursing homes, extended care, and assisted living facilities, where the demand is forecasted to exceed supply by nearly 31%. NC NurseCast also allows users to explore different what-if scenarios that would alter the forecast. For example, what if nurses experience increased burnout and exit the field 2 or 5 years early?
When we went through the modeling, we started this before the pandemic hit. Even before the pandemic hit, we were looking at a projected shortage of 10,000 nurses. If you add that early exit, everybody exits 5 years earlier, you're looking at a shortage of 21,000 nurses.
Model data shows that over the next decade, metropolitan areas are expected to face far greater nurse shortages than rural areas, with Greensboro and Winston-Salem facing the greatest shortages, followed by the Triangle and South Central Charlotte. However, Freyer said rural areas will not be exempt.
Of the workforce that I am most concerned about right now, I am most concerned about nursing. We have shortages in urban areas. We have shortages in rural areas. We have hospitals desperate for nurses.
Even if the state grows its nurse supply by 10% with new graduates, Frayer said North Carolina will still face a shortage of more than 10,000 nurses in 2033. She said these findings highlight the importance of investing in efforts to retain nurses, rather than assuming an increase in graduates will address workforce shortfalls in the coming years.
So the message that I want to leave you with, leave policymakers with, is it'd be great if we could expand enrollments, but what we're really going to have to focus on is retention, and it's going to get worse before it gets better.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Elle Karras.
Now to politics, where more local leaders are throwing their hats in the ring to replace longtime U.S. House Representative David Price when he retires after next year. Yesterday, Durham County Commissioner Nita Alam became the latest to declare her candidacy. She's the first Muslim woman ever elected to public office in North Carolina. And here's what she had to say at a public event.
It's time to take this fight to the federal level, to work with President Joe Biden to make sure working families in North Carolina get the relief they deserve. We need to pass Medicare for All because healthcare is a basic human right, and too many North Carolinians have to choose between feeding their families and buying their prescriptions. We can't wait for a real living wage in this country. I fought for that on the Durham County Commission and got it done, and I will fight for that in Congress.
That's Nita Alam speaking there, already one of several candidates who have declared their candidacy to replace David Price. On campus, UNC has announced the speaker for this year's winter commencement. It's going to be chemistry professor Frank Leibvarth, who's recently earned national recognition for helping develop new ways to clean up PFAS chemicals like Gen X. Winter commencement is set for December 12th. It'll be in the Smith Center. On the national level, the online journal The Root has released its annual list of The Root 100, ranking the most influential African Americans ages 25 to 45. You'll recognize a couple names at the top of the list. Number one this year is vaccine researcher Kizmikia Corbett, who graduated from Orange High School. Coming in at number two, Nicole Hannah-Jones. A Carrboro Town Council meets tonight at 7 with an agenda that includes a report on equity from the town's police department and an update on plans to develop a unified bike share program for Carrboro and Chapel Hill. You can get the full agenda and the live stream link at townofcarrboro.org. And finally, sad news. Condolences to the friends and family of Lynn Lehman, who passed away over the weekend after a battle with cancer. Lehman was the former executive director of the Chapel Hill Carrboro Public School Foundation and a longtime advocate for local schools. Funeral details will be announced at a later date. Your time is 6:15. And time now for sports, brought to you this hour by CIMG Residential Mortgage. Today's the day we've been waiting for, the season opener for Carolina basketball. First up, the Tar Heel women hosting NCA&T at 4:30. Carolina's hoping to build on last year's NCAA tournament appearance, just their second in the last 6 years. But the Heels got some bad news just yesterday. Head coach Courtney Banghart announced that freshman Tiani Key and junior Ariel Young will both miss the entire season with ACL tears. Both were said to be big contributors for Carolina this year, and Key had been named to the ACC's newcomer watch list. That game's at 4:30. Then this evening, it's game one of the Hubert Davis era in Chapel Hill. The 19th-ranked Tar Heel men host Loyola Maryland at 7. Junior forward Armando Baycott got an individual honor today. He was named to the watch list for the Naismith Award, which goes to the National Player of the Year. We've got tonight's game for you right here on 97.9 The Hill, starting at 5:30 with countdown to tip-off. Over to soccer, the bracket is out for the NCAA Women's Tournament. Carolina has earned a 2 seed. The Tar Heels will host South Carolina in round one. Date and time still yet to be announced. UNC has made the NCAA Tournament every single year since it was first held back in 1982, and they've advanced at least as far as the second round every time. The NCAA will announce the men's bracket next week, Monday the 15th. Carolina lost to Clemson 2-1 in the quarterfinals of the ACC tourney. UNC field hockey also got its spot in the NCAA tourney over the weekend. Carolina will head to Iowa to face Northwestern in the first round on Friday. The Tar Heels are shooting for what would be their fourth straight national title. Over to football, where several Tar Heels earned individual honors after Saturday's big win over Wake Forest. Ty Chandler was named ACC Running Back of the Week. He rushed for 213 yards and 4 TDs, while Marcus McKeithen was named ACC Offensive Lineman of the Week. QB Sam Howell also got an individual honor. He was named a Manning Award Star of the Week for his performance, which included 216 passing yards, 104 rushing yards, and 3 total TDs. And finally, to baseball, where a former Tar Heel just won a big honor. Pittsburgh Pirates catcher Jacob Stallings won a Gold Glove Award as the top defensive catcher in the National League. Stallings graduated from UNC in 2012.